Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children and anarchists of all ages, welcome to the Dark Lord Reapers United States of Anarchy podcast. Who am I? I'm the man without a plan, the Dark Lord himself, the Nightmare King, giving you unapologetic truth and hardcore facts. Don't like what I have to say? Two words, don't listen. If you're looking for celebrity gossip, this podcast is not for you. This podcast is for real topics, real situations, and occasionally we have fun over here. Like I said before, don't like what I have to say? Two words, don't listen. Boycott my podcast. Boycott my social media. Boycott anything that is attached to me. It's that simple. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back again. I know it's been a while since you heard my voice, but I've been a little under weather and I'm a little preoccupied with other projects that I will be bringing to this platform for you guys to enjoy and understand. But as promised, we are going to do my TV, movie, video game, toy, trailer, and food reviews. And oh boy, we have so much to cover. So buckle up, hold on tight, let's enjoy. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So in this segment, I wanted to go over some trailers. So the first trailer I want to touch on is Disney has officially released the first trailer for the live-action, much-anticipated Little Mermaid. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm pretty sure this episode is still up, but didn't I tell to y'all about arguing about the ethnicity of a fictional character? You guys are arguing. You guys are upset that the person portrayed, the main protagonist, Ariel, is a black woman. Y'all mad about the ethnicity of a fish? Really not. Y'all need to get over yourselves. It's toxic fans like you people why we can't just enjoy nice things. But I must say the actress sounds great. She looks great. I'm looking forward to the film. I'm going to support it. If you don't want to support it, that's on you. So there goes that. So moving on, Mortal Kombat's animated universe is coming with another Mortal Kombat film called Snowblind, which is going to focus on a fan favorite and fairly new character, the blind swordsman Senshi. So we get to see a king Kano, as well as we see Shang Tsung, and I don't know which Sub-Zero this is. I'm not sure if it's Kuai Liang or Bi-Han, but we're going to get to see that. The trailer looks awesome. It's supposed to come out later on this year on DVD, so look out for that. Now, apparently, we are getting a new Hellraiser film starring our lovable torture masochist, Pinhead. But this time, Pinhead is being portrayed by a female. So this is interesting in itself, people. So I'm looking forward to it. So I want to see it as a horror movie enthusiast. So all the things that I just mentioned, look for me to review it here on the United States of Anarchy podcast. I'm looking forward to it, as should you be looking forward to it. So what other trailer drops? Because a few drop. Oh, yes. The trailer for the very popular video game, The Last of Us, which is supposed to come on HBO Max drop. And I'm interested to see that. It should be good. I'm looking forward to it. As well as the much anticipated Halloween Ends, which is supposed to be the direct sequel to Halloween Kills, which to this day has the highest kill count in any horror movie slasher film. So Jamie Lee Curtis, apparently this is supposed to be the last time she portrays Laurie, and this is supposed to take place 4 years after Michael Myers did what he did in Halloween Kills. So it's heavily implied that there is more than one person running around with the personification of Michael Myers. Because if you were paying attention to detail to the trailer, his left hand only has three fingers. But the person in the trailer that pushes open the door to find Laurie with a gun has five fingers. So it's possible that it could be more than one person. So this is 4 years after the last film that we saw 2 years ago came out. So that's that for trailers at the moment. So when we come back, we're gonna get into some video game trailers as well as some video game gameplay. And we're back. So in this segment, I wanted to go over some video game trailers and some video game gameplay. So it's official, ladies and gentlemen. We are officially getting Street Fighter 6. And boy, are we getting some changes. Never done before with Street Fighter. And I am looking forward to playing it. It's coming out on most platforms, most gaming platforms, except the Nintendo Switch. Yo, Capcom, I want you to that part. Yo, what kind of disrespect? Y'all gonna stop disrespecting the Nintendo Switch. So here's the synopsis. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the synopsis. So, basically, the storyline has moved on since the days of M. Bison, because looking at the roster, M. Bison apparently is officially dead. But we are getting some new characters. And for the first time in Street Fighter history, we are actually getting an African-American female character. Who specializes in her fighting style is ninjutsu. And for the first time in Street Fighter ever, we are getting our own created character, an open world gameplay where you can walk around the city. And it's making subtle nods to original fight games. I'm looking forward to it. They've made a lot of healthy changes to some of the classic OG characters like Guile, Ryu, Ken, Chun-Li, Blanca, and the list goes on. So I'm looking forward to playing the new Street Fighter when it drops. As well as, now this is a game that I was looking forward to. God of War Ragnarok, which picks up the storyline from God of War 4. For those of you who did not play that game, spoiler alert. So basically, quick synopsis. From when we left off Kratos in God of War 3, when he finally got his revenge on all of the gods of Olympus, he moved on and went to East of the Rhine, where he went to settle down and had another wife and a son. But he stepped on Norseman mythology gods' territory. So, this is an older, wiser Kratos. But apparently, he killed a few gods in the last game. He killed both sons of Thor, as well as Thor's brother, Baldur. Now, for those of us who do not know who Baldur is, he's one of Odin's and Queen Freya's sons. He was like the weakest one in the bunch. So he was so sick, so she went and asked everything and every around the world to not hurt her son. So basically, he was basically made him indestructible. So with Kratos killing her son, Freya has sworn bloody vengeance on Kratos and Atreyu. So Atreyu finally understands that he is a god. So he wants to know, but little does he know, he's actually Loki, the Norse god of mischief. So I'm interested to see how this game plays out. Now here's another game that I'm looking forward to. Gotham Knights. Now, Gotham Knights is supposed to be within the mythos of Batman's video game world, but it's not picking up after Gotham Knights. This is its own storyline. In this storyline, apparently Batman / Bruce Wayne is dead. So now it's down to his proteges to pick up the slack and defend Gotham, hence the name Gotham Knights. You can do go gameplay, and each character has its own style. The game has been delayed for a while now. So in this version, in this mythos, we get Barbara Gordon, aka Batgirl, Tim Drake, aka Robin, Dick Grayson, a.k.a. the OG Robin, a.k.a. Nightwing. And last but not least, and my personal favorite Robin, Jason Todd, a.k.a. the Red Hood. So they are left to pick up the pieces and defend Gotham from all manners of evil. And we're going to see classic Batman villains such as Harley Quinn, the Penguin, Mr. Freeze, and a fairly new villain to the Batman mythos, or it's more so a group, but they're fairly new, the Court of Owls. Now, I liked the Court of Owls because this was the one thing that, because Batman, his main power is, his main ability is, you know, being prepared and being in the know of what's going on in Gotham City. Now, this is something that he didn't even know about, which threw him for a loop, and it really pushed him to the brink. So I'm interested to see the how they execute this. And last but not least, I'm interested to see this game franchise that has grown on me. It's come out in the last, and they did a revamp, and I like the revamp. We are getting a new Assassin's Creed game, Assassin's Creed Mirage, which focuses on a thief in the Middle East who joins the Brotherhood. So this is more Middle Eastern style. We're getting apparently we're getting a bunch of Assassin's Creed games, but when I get more information on that, I'll review it here, ladies and gentlemen. So when we come back, I'm going to get into what's been going on with Hasbro and Marvel Legends.
We got it together, didn't we?
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So we are doing TV, movie, video game, trade, toy, and food reviews. So in this segment, I want to go over what Hasbro has been cooking up in the HasLabs lately. And boy, let me start off by saying, just take my money. You're just gonna take all my money, huh? So let's start off with what they've put out recently. They, like I've always said, they're killing it, but they've upped their game. We are officially, for the first time in Marvel Legends history, getting the second Ghost Rider, Robbie Reyes. Now, if you're not familiar with this character, he debuted live action on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is the Ghost Rider that uses the muscle car. So they put out Robbie Reyes with the muscle car. It has full LED lights, interchangeable wheels, a full steering wheel, all that. And of course, the Ghost Rider with the Ghost Rider head, accessories, so on and so forth. It looks pretty good. If you want to get it for your kid, just know it's going to, you know, it's going to be pricey, but it looks good. Like, if you're a collector of cars, like, if you just collect, like, model cars, it would be something that you could add to your collection as well. So, it's up to you, really. I think it looks good. I'm waiting to see someone do, a real review so I can say if it's worth the money or not. But moving right along. So, we have gotten the lineup for next year's, what Hasbro is putting out for next year. So, we are going to get a three-pack of Daredevil. We're getting a white Elektra with interchangeable hands and head. This is her white outfit. We're getting an updated outfit of Bullseye with the blue top, with the blue and black mix. And we're getting a new Daredevil. And it looks like they're bringing back the toe articulation, which I really didn't care for. But, hey, to each his own. I hope I'm wrong in that regard, because I just saw the pictures. But for the first time in Hasbro, what's new to the lineup, we, for those of you people who are fans of the old school 1980s Adventures movies, we are getting a first ever 6-inch toy line for Indiana Jones. Yeah, that Indiana Jones. So apparently the actor Harrison Ford is going to be in two different toy lines. He's going to be in Star Wars. His face recognition was going to be in Star Wars as well as the Indiana Jones, because it comes from the same mythos of Lucasfilms. So in this lineup, it focuses on the first Indiana Jones film, which is Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is one of my personal favorites, and I liked it. So I'm going to see, and the actual character, I don't know if the hat is removable. I hope it is removable. But it comes with his classic whip. It comes with the thing that he took from the cave. It comes with his 38 snub pistol and interchangeable hands. So I'm interested to see how that goes. So there's that with Hasbro. Now, we've already gotten 30-year anniversary Toad. We've gotten the Toad, a fully articulated Toad, and it's pretty pricey, but it, like, the articulation is pretty standard, basic, if you want to call it that. As well as we got the line for the new Marvel film, the new Marvel's Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever. So I'm gonna look into that. There's something there for you to look forward to, as well as what else Hasbro has put out recently that I think is worth picking up. Oh, we're getting Mojo. For those of you who are familiar with the X-Men mythos, we are getting Mojo, as well as next year they're getting into more of the X-Men, like, other characters that came later on. We're getting Omega Kid. Now, if you're not familiar with the character, we're getting Omega Kid. He is a telekinetic and telekinesis character. He's highly intelligent. We are getting Monet, who popped up recently. She's a fairly new character. We're getting a new variation of Storm, the yellow suit of Storm. Oh, yes. G.I. Joe just put out some new characters. We're getting Falcon. I'm waiting for them to put out General Hawk. We're getting Falcon. We're also getting Sergeant Slaughter. Oh, yeah. We're getting Rock and Roll, Torpedo, and Shipwreck. And we're also supposed to have gotten Mindbender, for those of you who are familiar with the character. I'm waiting for them to put out Tunnel Rat and Ripcord. What's the holdup here, people? What's the holdup for Tunnel Rat and Ripcord? They know those two over the years have become fan favorites. What is the holdup here? So Hasbro is doing its thing, man. They just trying to take everybody money. Oh yes, before I forget, Hasbro has put out what is called the NBA Starting Lineup, which is going to be a toy line that focuses strictly on the NBA and NBA players. So for the first wave, we are getting, of course, the King, LeBron James. We're getting the Greek Freak, Giannis. We're getting that young man from Memphis that plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. We're, of course, getting Steph Curry. We're getting the star player from Anthony Young. I know his last name is Young. He plays for the Atlanta Hawks. And we're getting, what's his name? From Dallas Mavericks. He's on the cover. He was on the cover of the last 2K22. He was on the cover of 2K22. So those guys are going to be in the start. Those are going to be in the first wave. Now, it's on the pricey side for, like, basic characters that have interchangeable hands, a stand, and a basketball. It's coming, and it's supposed to come up to about $50, because apparently it comes with an NFT. So, no, not $50, about $30. So it's up to you if you feel it's worth it. There's a lot of licensing because they're wearing Nike shoes. Like, they put the detail in there, mini Nike shoes. So that's why I would want to get it for customization purposes. Excuse me. But anyway, to make a long story short, that's something to look forward to. As well as Hasbro is doing what is called its selfie scan, where you can make your own character, your own action figure. All you have to do is download the Hasbro app, scan your face, and pay the fee. It went up, though, because originally it was $50, which I'm like, okay. Then it was $50 for the people who were there at San Diego Comic-Con and were the first to try it out. Then it went from 50 to 60. Now it went from 60 to 70. So Hasbro, y'all bug it. $30 should suffice. But I don't know. It's up to you guys. So That's what Hasbro has cooking, ladies and gentlemen. So when we come back, we are going to go over Woman King. And we're back. So we are going over classic reviews. So this segment, I want to review Woman King, starring Viola Davis. Now, I can honestly say from the bottom of my heart, it is a worthwhile film going to see. If you like Dodora Milaje in Black Panther, the first Black Panther movie, you'll like Woman King, because this is based on something that really happened and based on real people. I liked it. It showed like real character development. It showed real depth. Viola Davis did an amazing job. In fact, all of the actors and actresses did an amazing job. I give it 5 stars, honestly speaking. It was action-packed from beginning to end. Like, their training rituals were pretty, like, the initiation process was pretty brutal. But it was really good. It touched on a lot of things on how the society in Africa was set up in terms of, like, monarchies and how men have multiple wives. Or it showed how, you know, if you are looking for a movie that shows women empowerment, Woman King is the movie for you. I'm telling you, it shows me. Because it shows them that they're rough and tumble, but it also showed that they have a compassionate and feminine side to them. How you approach them is up to you. Now, this part of the review is spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. So let me go over a few of my favorite scenes. One of my favorite scenes is basically the opening, when the women's military force headed by Viola Davis runs down on the tribe of dudes that kidnap women and children. It was beast at its most. Like, these guys, if they didn't do a battle cry, those dudes would not have been none to the wiser of what was going to happen. The character I hated more than any other character in the film was two characters, actually. Let's go with the lesser of the two. Once again, spoiler alert. So if you have not seen this movie and you want to see it, skip this part of my podcast and move on to another part. The first character that was more hated, that I hated, was the guy who was half black, half Cree, half white. Like, I kind of hated him because he knew he was there with the imperialists, the slavers. And he was like, oh, I'm just here because my mom came from this tribe and I wanted to see it for myself. But you know what the people that you brought with you are there to do. And you wait till the house of cards is burning to actually want to pick a side and want to help. So that's why I didn't really care for that guy. He's the first one. He's the lesser of two evils, because at least he came to a sense. The main character I hated more than any was the antagonist of the story. This guy, along with his tribe, were known, they were like a Moorish tribe, They were known for selling their own people into bondage to get guns. And it's heavily implied that this character, like many, are guilty of sexual assault of a woman. And it's implied that he sexually assaulted and abused the character portrayed by Viola Davis. I hated this character. Like, I couldn't wait for him to get up out of here. Like, I was waiting for Viola Davis to put him on a t-shirt. And she eventually did. How, I'm not going to reveal, because I want people to go see this movie and support the film. The same way you supported Black Panther, go support this film. It's worth your while. It's a worth your while film. It has a valuable lesson at the end of it. And there's other parts of it that I'm not going to reveal because it's that good. I give it 5 stars. So, when we come back, I am going to give my review of the new season of The Cleaning Lady. And we're back. So in this segment, I wanted to go over season 2 of The Cleaning Lady. So we are 2 episodes in, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to go over the last 2 episodes briefly. Now, spoiler alert in advance. But let's brief catch up for those of us who did not see the season finale of last season. So the last season, the season ended with Agent Garrett Miller getting Tony, the main character, and Armand, the second in command for the gun control, for the gun ring, to set up Hayek, the big boss, to take down the take him down, right? In exchange for immunity, whatever the case may be, for Armand. But they flipped it on him, and basically all the cash was in cryptocurrency. And Tony was the one in charge of that. So she basically moved money from here to there. Armand trusted her because she earned his loyalty and vice versa. So this season picks up with Armand and Hayek in prison. And Armand needs to get out of jail. So they have a crooked judge that's going to, you know, get him out of jail for $2 million. $2 meal tickets. Meanwhile, Tony's husband, Marco, has come to America to, you know, see his son and bring him back home. Now, before we forget, Luca, Tony and Marco's son, has a compromised immune system, right? Which is why Tony even came to America. But their marriage was already on the rocks, and their marriage is over. This was made abundantly clear. So he takes Luca and causes a big rupture. Now, I ain't gonna lie, this dude, like, he pulled a sucker move. Like, he pulled a real sucker move. Like, you don't do that. Like, you acting like a kidnapping, like, you want your wife to come home? That ain't the way to move, dog. But anyway, she contacts Agent Miller to put out an APB to stop Marco from getting on a plane and going back to her home country. Meanwhile, Hayek somehow finds out that Armand was cooperating with the feds, and arranged for him to get a little, you know, tune-up. Tighten him up, you know, get dealt with a snitch. Meanwhile, there's a new player in town called Robert Kamadar. He's played by Naveen Andrews. Now, for those of us who remember watching the TV show Lost, he was on the show as, like, a former terrorist that used to terrorize people, but he ended up on the island. But I digress. So the two first major deaths is Marco and Hayek. Now, Marco's death was an accident, but it opened the door for friendly extortion. Friendly extortion. As well as Hayek. Now, Hayek we knew was coming because you know what happens once you're branded a snitch, especially behind bars. So with Hayek dead at the hands of Armand is the number one guy. He runs this. So now you have to deal with his wife because she never liked Tony. So now we got Luca. Luca the kid, like, he's feeling better now, but his medicine is running out. Chris, the nephew, the son of the sister-in-law, Fiona, he feels a lot of guilt because even though it was an accident, he feels that, you know, Marco's death is his fault. But me personally, Marco brought that on himself. That's just me. And I hate to say this, even though I was rooting for the guy, I was rooting for him. I was rooting for him because he came back to his family. He brought that death on himself. But episode 3 is going to air tonight. I want to see where this is going to go, because the FBI is still looming over, Agent Garrett, because he's like a dog with a bone. He doesn't know how to let things go. So I'm interested to see how that's going to turn out. So when we come back, I'm going to go over the new season of Power Book 2 Raising Kanan. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So in this segment, I wanted to go over the new season of Power Book 3 Raising Kanan. Now, so much has happened, so let me go over it briefly. Once again, spoiler alert. Let me do it character by character. So let's start off with the obvious character, Kanan. He's still reeling from what happened at the end of season 2 shooting the officer, played by Mike Epps. Well, fortunately and unfortunately for him, the officer survived. Mr. Officer survived, who actually is his biological father. So he has more questions than answers. And we're starting to see him develop into the ruthless Kanan that we all know and love, hate, love. Which brings us to his cousin, Jukebox. She's still coming to grips with, she's not speaking to her father, Marvin, for a good reason. And she started to not just come to grips with her own sexuality, but she went to seek out her mother, Kenya. And we're introduced to this new character, Kenya, who happens to be the biological mother of Jukebox, aka Laverne. So Jukebox seeks her out. And my mom pointed this out. The actress that plays Jukebox has a way of looking at people like a "I will cut your throat" look. Like, it's rare to see her smile. And she's still dealing with the death of her one-time girlfriend. She's still dealing with that. And it's like her character development is going on. So let's get to the big dogs. Raquel, Kanan's mother. She just wants to be the queen pin. She's moving into new territory, moving on, like, you know, franchising. And she's made some detrimental moves. Oh, Officer Howard, that's his name. Officer Howard. He survives. He's buying prostitutes. He's living the life. So he finally confronts Kanan and tells him the truth about what's going on. And Raquel tells Kanan, okay, don't pay him any mind. He's crazy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's, you know, just trying to get into your head. He's messing with you. So we get a little bit more backstory into Officer Howard. Apparently, Raquel was his confidential informant when she was 16, when she was a teenager, and they had an affair. And Kanan, obviously, is a result of that affair. So, excuse me. So we got that going on, which brings me to my next character, Marvin. Marvin, as a result of last season, had to go do anger management. And it's actually working for him because he's becoming more patient. He's becoming more passionate. And he's trying to repair the damage that he did between him and Jukebox. He's trying to repair that damage, but Jukebox isn't really trying to hear what he's saying. And can you blame him? Can you blame her? Last episode, he actually confronts her about, when were you going to tell me about, you know, your mom coming back? She said, I wasn't going to tell you. And he was tried to warn her. He's like, your mother just up and left you. Like, I was here. She's like, you didn't do much of a better job. He's like, I know. I messed up, but I never stopped trying. Which is true. Half a mother is better than none, and half a father is better than none. But still, the Marvin's character, he's developing. He's becoming likable, even though, you know, he has his ignorant ways. Yeah. So, let's move on to Lou, Uncle Lou. He's deep into this music business. Now, before I get deeper into it, rest in peace to Crown. Crown should have known to shut up. Crown should have known to shut up. Like, why would you go behind the back of the guy who was funding your business and speak to his sister about quote-unquote getting him out of the way? Why would you do that? Knowing you're dealing with gangsters. This is how you know Crown is all talk, no bark. All bark, no bite. He goes and pulls a gun on Lou. And Lou says, you ain't gonna use that. And Crown says who? He says me. And what did he do? He put the gun back in his waist like a scared puppy. Reminds me of a lot of people I know, but that's another story. So, yeah, so there's Lou. And now they made connections with the Italians. Via a foe that they thought they dealt with. Unique. Now, Unique is a character that he's likable, but he's grimy at the same time. Now, Raquel, she's doing the old keep your friends close and enemies closer kind. I'm looking at their relationship as this is a Jamaican problem. The goat is swearing to eat the rose bush, and the rose bush is swearing to give the goat indigestion. Two people plotting on each other. But let's see who comes out on top. Let me know in the comments section how you guys feel about the season of Power Book 3 Raising Kanan. And we're also introduced to some new players, major players. Introduced some new players who one of them is showing Raquel how to properly launder her money. And then another one, you're introduced to the Jamaican, to a Jamaican crew, last episode. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. So when we come back, I am going to review the much anticipated Hocus Pocus 2. And we're back. So in this segment, I wanted to go over Hocus Pocus 2, the much anticipated sequel to the 1993 original. And for the most part, I enjoyed it. A few critiques. They made a lot of references to the original film. Blatant references. But what I would have liked to see more of is the original, like, protagonist of the story. I wish they would have come back. But we'll get to why there's a possibility of us seeing a part 3. Now, spoiler alert. Once again, spoiler alert. So, we actually get more backstory into the backstory of the Sanderson sisters and how they became witches in the first place. Winifred was always feared, and a lot of people wanted to stay out of her way. Her supposed lover, Billy, the zombie guy that we saw in the first movie, apparently, we finally found out the truth. They were not lovers. She kissed him. They had one kiss. He was more involved with her youngest sister, Sarah. So she got jealous and poisoned him and sewed his mouth shut. So he basically explained that in the film, and apparently this whole time he's been alive, just underground. And he was like, yeah, I wasn't actually dead, I was just underground. So he really had no choice but to do her bidding, so to speak. whatever the case is. So we find out that a new coven of witches. We have a new coven of witches, whatever the case is. And we see the book, and apparently there was a spell in the book that was never, ever, ever to be done. That gives them unlimited power, but it comes at a price. You have to sacrifice the thing you love the most. And you have to sacrifice the thing you love the most. So it had a powerful lesson at the end of it. That it had a powerful lesson. I enjoyed it for what it was. And spoiler alert, the ending of the movie, we see. Well, okay, this is how they came back to life. Apparently, they lit a black flame candle, unbeknownst to them. Because the shop owner who's been running the shop for that used to be the home of the Sanderson sisters, he made a black flame candle and gave it to the new protagonist of the series, hoping that they would light the candle, which they did. So the candle went out, so we know what's supposed to happen at sunrise. So Sanderson sisters should be dead, never coming back again. But the end of the film, we see a box that is labeled BF number 2, meaning that homeboy made more than one black flame candle. But the book no longer answers to Winifred. It went with the new character. So I don't know what's gonna happen there. So it was a nice like nod to the nostalgia of the film. I enjoyed it. There was a few missed opportunities. It was a few missed opportunities. We find out that one of the people that they had beef with was the mayor of the town, and their direct descendant still lives in Salem, and they went after him once. And he had a daughter who was a part of the new coven. So yeah, there was a lot of you know, real world topics that went on. The main actress was also one of the main protagonists from the new Gossip Girl that's on HBO Max. I enjoyed it for what it was. So when we come back, we are going to go over and review the new season of Cobra Kai. And we're back. So in this season, So in this episode, we are going to review season 5 of Cobra Kai, the spin-off series from the Karate Kid franchise. Oh my God. Season 5 was a roller coaster, ladies and gentlemen. So much has happened. So let me sum it up as best as I can. So Cobra Kai won the All Valley tournament via cheating, thanks to Silverman, the antagonist from Karate Kid Part 3, the one that psychologically tortured Danny LaRusso. This guy done so much. It's how did you get away with this for this many years? So it was a lot of callbacks to the film. We actually got to see the bad boy of karate return. I can't remember his name, but he made a return. Now, I thought that was wasted, but I'm glad that the character came back. I'm glad that the character, that he reprised the role. The MVP of this season was Chosen. Oh my God, like he was the ultimate bodyguard, and he taught the kids, like he helped train the kids. So Robbie and his father went to Mexico to find Miguel, because Miguel went to go find his dad. And now we see why Miguel was kept from his father all these years, because the guy is clearly a criminal. He's a criminal. And, you know, no mother with her right mind is going to keep her is gonna have her child around somebody who lives that lifestyle, unless she lives that lifestyle too. So anyway, we find out that Sensei Kreese, John Kreese, he is in jail. And he orchestrates he takes over the prison. He takes over the prison. He's running things now. But the sad part is he's in jail for something he didn't even do. That's what makes it sad. But it goes back to the old saying, you may get away with things that you've done, but eventually you gotta answer for everything. So we revisit a lot of storylines, including a storyline that I paid close attention to, Kenny Payne. Now, Kenny Payne is a character that I identify a lot. I identify with that character. I know how it feels to people. I know how it feels to fun. Like when you finally get the nerve and the courage to stand up to the bully. But the difference between me and Kenny is I had good teaching and I didn't become a bully myself. So I identify with Kenny. I paid attention to his storyline a lot. Season 6 should be a doozy because, in spoiler alert, Terry Silverman's big ambition was for them to start a dojo and enter into this international karate tournament where if they win, their style of karate would be recognized all over. So both Cobra Kai and Danny LaRusso and Johnny School were all recognized as well. So it opens the door for a lot of for the storyline to keep going. The last fight scene, it was like, it's like, hold up, these dudes should be at least 60-something years old. Like, they whipping. Yo. But hey, I can't. It's fiction. Who knows? Enjoy it for what it is. But this is a question. Like, this is how you know expansion real. If this was the real world, like this was happening, everybody, the adults, kids, everybody would have been looking at prison time behind a lot of these incidents that have happened with this prank, with this show. So I enjoy it for what it is. So when we come back, we're gonna go over Disney's Season 2 Mighty Ducks Game Changer. And we're back. So in this segment, we're gonna do a 2-for-1 special. So the first review I am going to do is Season 2, Episode 1 of Mighty Ducks, The Game Changer. So let's go over what has happened previously. So the new Mighty Ducks, which originally were known as the Don't Bothers, won an underground hockey ring where the name was changed and they got the rights to the name. So now we're in the summertime. They're supposed to be preparing for the new hockey season, but their ring was labeled unsafe. And who's working on it? One of the classic Mighty Ducks, Fulton Reed. And who comes back? His fellow Bash brother. And they both are working on it with construction. So, they are invited to a elite hockey program where you could say they're a little bit out of their league. But they're going anyway. And come to find out, they weren't the ones that were invited. They invited the Ducks that are no longer known as the Mighty Ducks. But anyway. So it's something new. I like it so far because it's like only six of the team members that are there from the Mighty Ducks team, including the two girls. So, of course, like the mom, who was supposed to be the coach, she gets a job out there. So she drove them from Minnesota to California. And I like it so far. I mean, it's just one episode. It's too soon to tell what's going to happen one way or the other. But let's see what's going to happen. So that's my review for season 2, episode 1 of Mighty Ducks Game Changers. Now let's move into the one that you guys wanted me to review. Marvel's She-Hulk. Now a lot of people have been complaining for the fact that She-Hulk was twerking with Melanie Thee Stallion. All you people complaining about She-Hulk clearly never read a She-Hulk comic. She's a bit of a horn dog. She's a bit of a, you know, a sleeper, if you get my drift. But, for those of you who have no clue who She-Hulk is or her origins, I'm going to tell you right now. Jennifer Walters is the cousin to Bruce Banner. She had a car accident or accident like that, and she needed a blood transfusion. Unfortunately for her, Bruce Banner was the only match. So that's the actual origins of how she became She-Hulk. The difference between her and Bruce Banner is she keeps all her faculties. Originally, she could not transform. She was stuck. You know what I'm saying? She was stuck the way she was. So now that I've cleared that up. So now we've cleared that up. Let's get into the actual cast. So we are actually introduced to Marvel's version of the Wrecking Crew. Now that was kind of disappointing because the Wrecking Crew is a staple in the Marvel universe. Like, for those of you who don't know who they are super powered. Like, they're really souped up. They're buffed out. They made these dudes in the Marvel films look like flunkies, like pushovers, really. So they're setting up, from what I see with She-Hulk, they're setting up the Thunderbolts. We actually revisit Abomination, the character of Abomination. We revisit him, Eli Blonsky, and it's official, ladies and gentlemen. The Incredible Hulk is a part, the 2008 Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton playing Bruce Banner is officially MCU canon. So, that Hulk, we love that Hulk. Like, CGI, please make the Hulk look like that again, because that was the best on-screen Hulk we've seen. Like, fix it. Fix it, Jesus. So we're looking forward. We don't know when this is going to happen, but we're supposed to see Daredevil make an appearance in She-Hulk wearing his classic yellow and red suit. Now, for those of us who don't know, the yellow and red suit is what he originally used to wear in the comics until it became a full red suit. He's had different suits over the years, like Batman. But that's neither here nor there. So we're waiting for that to happen, ladies and gentlemen. So this is where I'm going to end this episode. Thank you for all my subscribers and all my listeners. I know, I took a while to come back. So my next episode, I'm going to start doing the 48 Laws of Power again. And after this episode, I want to do a much anticipated episode where we do the best of, where we are going to talk about the best fast food, burgers, fries, and all types of stuff. And of course, I'm going to have reoccurring guests. So, till next time, always seek truth, have fun, rage against the machine, love, peace, chicken grease, deuces!